wonderful time of worship? Yes?
Yes.
To everyone who was up there? Great job. God says, well done. To all of you who were singing, God says, well done. But I was very touched by some of the words of some of the songs. The song in particular that spoke about the veil is torn. He tore the veil. You know, and that wasn't just the curtain that was in the temple. It's referring to his body. And if you need to find a scripture for that, you'll find it in Hebrews 10. Because we can sometimes think of the curtain in the temple which tore from the top to the bottom. But that's just symbolic of what actually had to happen. So let's look at Hebrews 10. Just so that we know where it is in the word. And so that we can remind ourselves. It says in verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." His body was torn for you and for me. It wasn't just a curtain in the temple, but it was the body of Christ that was torn and broken for you and for me, that we could enter into wholeness and completeness and fullness. I'm aware I'm kind of reverberating here. Thinking, I don't usually sound like that. Or, well, maybe I do. I don't know. Hallelujah. What I would like to share with you today is actually about the temple. And maybe that's why the words of that song really, really blessed me. So hallelujah. Amen. It's just so good for John and I to be here with you all again. I don't know what you have given up to be here, but God knows. God knows. He knows the difficulties. He knows those who have left homes, maybe even left countries to be here. And that's such a blessing to God. It really is. You need to know that you please God this morning. You need to know that. God says when he looks at you and when he sees where you are, he says, you keep a hold of my hand. You keep a hold of my hand. You and me are going on an adventure like no other adventure. We sang another song, You'll Never Give Up. You'll never give up. And some of you need to hear that as well today, that he's never going to give up on you. You might go through things in your life where it seems that Jesus is not your first port of call. He is not the one who you go to first when there's a difficulty that comes into your life. Unfortunately, for so many of us, he is our last resort instead of being the first place that we go to, because his name is above everything. And whatever circumstance or difficulty or trial may be going on in your life, you need to let Jesus be above that. You need to lift Jesus up higher than your difficulty. You need to see him ruling and reigning in your life. And when you do that, he will never, never give up on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You are accepted in him. and you are his beloved. Today, you are his beloved. He says of you, you are lovely. Not because you are outwardly lovely, but because of the loveliness that's in your heart. He doesn't look at your outward appearance.
Thank you, Lord.
He doesn't look at your outward appearance. He knows what's in your heart. And it's what's in your heart that blesses God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is so good. So good. God gave a promise to David. We're not going to turn to all of these scriptures that I'm going to be reading out. So please feel free to write down the scriptures. And for your own personal study time, you can look at it. Because, you know, the lessons go very quick and I can't always turn and get into all of it. So for some of the scriptures that I read out, just take a note of where they are. And then you go home and you study and you take it deeper and you take it further, because God wants to reveal personal things to you as you and him communicate. Yeah? This is not about me speaking the word of God. This is about me coming here, hopefully being a blessing and an encouragement to you. But it's to encourage you, for you to go home and study.
Amen.
For yourself.
Amen.
It's for you to get revelation. You can't live on my revelation. And I can't live on yours. I need to get my own revelation for me. But you see, when we get our own revelation as individuals, then when we share it with one another, wow. It's a beautiful thing when you share revelation with one another and you're building one another up in your most holy faith. It's wonderful, and I want to encourage all of you first-year students to do that to one another. The person sitting beside you today might just so need to hear a word that God has spoken to you. Because the blessing's not just for you, it's for you to give out. Freely you have received, then freely give. Amen.
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 So the promise that God gave to David from 2 Samuel 7 verse 12, promise reads this. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, David had it in his heart to build a temple for God. And David had it so much in his heart that he actually had all the plans already drawn up. Everything was in place. But God spoke to David and said, you are not the one to do this. It's your offspring who will do this. And God told David exactly why that was the case. And we're not going there. You look at it in your personal time. And in 1 Kings 6, verse 1, we read that Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord, just as God had said. And in verse 38 of that chapter, we read, and it took 7 years to build it. Wow, 7 years to build a temple. That must have been a very impressive building. 7 years. You know, if you were waiting 7 years for your house to be built, I don't really think you would be too chuffed about that. But it took 7 years for the temple of the Lord to be built. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, in John 2, verse 13, we read, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Now, this was the temple that took 7 years to build. And here we have Jesus going up for the Passover. And he comes across this in the temple. Jesus was not very happy about this. He made a whip out of cords and he drove all from the temple area, as along with the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" Very stern words, but do you know what? They would have been said in love. They would have been said in love, because Jesus could not do anything else. Even when you read the accounts where there are seven woes to all the Pharisees, you know, it wasn't a condemnatory woe. I'm sure Jesus had such pain in his heart for how they were. He always spoke out of a heart of compassion for people. He always spoke out of love. But this was just so against what the temple was there for. The temple was there to be a house of prayer. And these ungodly things were going on inside the temple. So he purged the temple of everything corrupt. It was his father's house, and as a son, he had the authority to purge it from everything that dishonored God. Do you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And do you know that as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God, you have the authority to purge that temple of anything and everything that dishonors God? Will God not do that? No. God says, Jesus says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the works of the enemy." The Greek word for the temple is naos. I don't actually know how to pronounce it because I've never learned or studied Greek. The word is spelt N-A-O-S. But this word depicts a very impressive building. Very decorative architecture. It would have had arched and vaulted ceilings. It would have had marble columns. It would have had golden domes and hand-carved woodwork. The interior would have been very highly adorned in gold and silver and precious stones. And the whole building would be very ornate and very impressive. When God looks at you and sees you as his temple of the Holy Spirit, that's how he sees you. He sees you as a beautiful building. He sees you as highly decorated. He sees you as ornate. Question: how do you view yourself? Do you see yourself like that? Because that's what you are in the sight of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." If you know that there's something ungodly going on inside, deep inside, you have the authority to deal with that. It's your responsibility. It's your job to keep the temple pure. It's your job to throw out everything that is against the goodness of God. That's your job. Jesus has done it for us. We have no lack. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished, it is done," he meant that. He has accomplished everything for you and me. And when he gave us that authority as a believer, then it's up to you and me to use that. It's our job to keep the temple looking good for God. It's our job to keep it pristine and clean. It's our job. But it's with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't think you can do this on your own, because you cannot. You cannot. But if you do it with a heart that just wants to serve and be who God wants you to be, you'll just do a good job at keeping that temple the way God wants it to be. You see, when people look at your lives, they're looking at the temple of God. And they're going to see whether the temple's looking really good. They're going to know whether you are true to what you say you are, or they're going to know if there's any falseness. People discern these things, not just believers, people in the world, when they look at you and me, they know. They either know that we are different to them, or maybe some days we're the same as them. And if we are the same as those that are in the world, then we're not giving glory unto God. They're just thinking, well, they're just the same as me. So who needs Jesus if I'm not seeing any difference in their lives? Who needs Jesus? Why do I need Jesus? If we're not convinced of our need of Jesus and for the need for him to be Lord over all, how can we convince anyone else? And I believe that that's why you're here, because you long to be that beautiful temple that speaks of the glory of God. And you don't need to speak in words, but when people look at your life, they should be saying, as it said in Acts 4, when it says that the religious leaders took note that these men had been with Jesus. These ordinary, unschooled men. It was noted that they had been with Jesus. Now, the truth is that from Acts 4, they probably hadn't been with Jesus for a number of years, because Jesus had already died, had been buried, and then was resurrected. And he was at that point seated at the right hand of the Father. And yet still in the lives of the disciples, it was noted that these ordinary, unschooled men had been with Jesus. When people see you, do they see that you've been with Jesus? Do they see the Jesus in you? Do they see the Jesus in me? That's our heart's desire, yes? Yes? Everyone wants that? I don't want to point to me, I want to point to Jesus. I don't want people to follow me, I want them to follow Jesus. And the same word, naos, this is the exact same meaning in this portion of scripture. It's the exact same meaning. So you need to see yourself as an impressive building for the Lord. You need to see that you're not just a little apartment in a back street somewhere. You need to see that you are a beautiful temple, adorned in gold and silver and precious jewels. Well, that makes you want to stand 6 feet tall. Well, particularly when you're only 5 feet 2.5. Remember the half. The half's very important. 5 feet 2.5. That means I'm almost 5.3. I don't really think I'm going to grow physically anymore, you know. John and I both celebrate in 2017 our 60th birthday. We celebrate we celebrate 40 years of marriage. Now, we didn't plan that all of those years ago. We never even gave it a thought. We never gave it a thought. But what a blessing. You know, what a blessing when God comes into your life and just gives you an abundant life.
Amen.
Just so want to just be like him. And that's all God wants of you. Just step aside and let the Holy Spirit do the work. We don't need to struggle and strive at this. We only struggle and strive when we're trying to do it here in our minds. But do you know what? Scripture tells me I have the mind of Christ. Well, I know my mind. And I know that sometimes my mind is not quite the same as the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ in the spirit realm. It's in the spirit realm that we have these things. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because that is where we're meant to live. And let's go a little bit further and bring this out more and more. You see, when the Holy Spirit came into your heart, the Holy Spirit didn't just say, well, I'll stay for a fortnight and then, you know, I'll leave. You know, come for a little holiday, be there for 2 weeks, and then I'm off again. No, no, when the Holy Spirit came in, the Holy Spirit came in and took residence in your heart. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? I really like being here. Have you ever thought about that, that the Holy Spirit really likes being inside of you? That you're a joy and a blessing? And when the Holy Spirit comes, he makes it into a home. It becomes his home. You know, he redecorates, he declutters. You ever had the Holy Spirit declutter your life? Uh-huh. Well, we don't need that anymore. Let's get rid of that. Let's go for the minimalistic look. That's a very in thing. Less is more. Well, I know in my life that less of Susan and more of Jesus is so much better than more of Susan and less of Jesus. You know, so let's have a minimalistic attitude in our spirit as well, that we just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Because you know what? He knows much better than you and me. And he's making your temple even more beautiful. Amen. He was very happy to come, and he's very happy to stay. Isn't that nice? The Holy Spirit wants to stay with you. The Holy Spirit wants to be your help. The Holy Spirit wants to be your strength. The Holy Spirit wants to be your comfort. The Holy Spirit wants to be your joy. Isn't that wonderful? He made it his home. He's taken up residence and he says, I am not leaving. The moment that you were saved, a miracle took place in your heart. A miracle happened. The old you was gone and the new you arrived. A new creation. Born not of man, but born of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Are you all excited about that? Because
yes.
I'm not seeing excitement on your face. I'm a bit worried. No, I'm not worried, no. That doesn't mean we need to go around with cheesy grins all the time. It doesn't mean that, but do you know what? When someone looks at you and you're living life to the full in Jesus, your eyes sparkle. And I can see it when I look in your eyes. And when you tell me, some of you may tell me, yeah, I'm blessed, I'm doing really good, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, no, there's something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit's saying, that person's not quite where they think they are. There's a little struggle going on, and do you know what? They're denying the struggle because they think that they've got to be something that they're not. Do you know what Jesus wants you to be with him? He wants you to be real. See, when you've got a difficulty, he wants you to tell him about it. He already knows about it, but he wants communion with you. He wants you to speak to him so that he can speak to you and bring you the encouragement that you need. So the Holy Spirit raised you to new life in Christ Jesus. And his work began. It began inside of you. And do you know what? He's still working. But here's the good news. We just have to let him do the work. He doesn't need our help, but he needs our cooperation. He needs our willingness to allow him to do what he wants to do. It tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship. His workmanship. He's doing the work. You see, so the less of you and the less of me, then the more of him. That's so much easier than me trying to understand everything that God's wanting to do. And because up in here, I'll never understand it. Because my mind, my physical mind, cannot comprehend the spirit level. I will never understand the spiritual realm with my earthly mind, because it's contrary. You know, it just doesn't come together. Flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. But when we live in the spirit realm, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us, to speak to us, to lead us in his ways, then we will get revelation and understanding. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's just because we cooperate. So much easier to live like that. Because in my flesh, I cannot please God. I will never please God in my flesh. So I've quit trying. And if any of you are trying to do things of the spirit and the flesh, do you know the best advice? Stop doing it. You'll kill yourself. You will. Spiritually, you'll kill yourself. We should be going from one degree of glory to the next. That's the heart of the Father for you and for me. And we will only do that when we allow the Holy Spirit free reign. Whatever you want to do, just do it. He'll take you further than you could ever dream or imagine. And he will fill you with every good thing in Christ Jesus. And none of it will be an effort. It'll just happen out of the overflow of the Holy Spirit coming from that fountain of life that's deep inside each and every one of us. Are you allowing that fountain to bubble up? Are you allowing that fountain to get excited, to get encouraged, and to come forth? So that it just wells up and all that comes out is the life of God himself. That's what God has got for you and for me. Every day. Every day. And it began the day that you got born again. That's when it began. And God is still at work. His wonders to perform. Amen? Amen. They're his wonders. His wonders to perform. And that was when you became the temple of God. So let's look now at some scriptures. Could you turn your Bibles or any electronic device that you may have to 1 Peter chapter 2, And we're going to read from verse 4. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's who you are. Are you aware of that every day? Do you keep that at the forefront of your mind? When the trials and the difficulties and the issues of daily life come upon us, are we overwhelmed by them, or are we overwhelmed by who we are in Christ Jesus? Are you remembering that you're a living stone? Are you remembering that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God? That's exactly what verse 9 says. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But listen, why were all of these things? It's that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why we're all of these things. That we can give him the glory, that we can give him the praise. Because only he is worthy of all of this. Only he is worthy. Are you giving him all the glory? Are you giving him all the honor? Are you giving him all the praise? Or do you just praise when life's pretty good? You know, it's easy to praise when life's pretty good. You know, we can all sing our songs and be really happy. But what happens when the difficulties come? Are we still praising God? Are we still singing our song? Or has our song been stolen? And do we get overwhelmed by what's going on around us? Or what's going on even internally? That should not be. It should not be. But I want to encourage you. You're getting better. We're all getting better. None of us are where we used to be. We have all moved. We're all making improvements, yes. We're all getting more revelation, yes. We're all gaining understanding in the Word of God, yes. Well, encourage yourself with that in the days when it's tough. On the days when you can't be bothered, on the days when you just think, oh, just forget about this. That's when you need to build yourself up in your most holy faith. It's easy when everything's easy, but it's not so easy when it isn't. But inside you and me, there is the ability. There is always the ability. And the enabling to sing songs to God simply because of who God is. Amen? If for no other reason that you are a child of God, is that not something to sing about? Irrespective of what might be going on, World War III about to begin, and you're in the midst of it, how did I get here? Well, do you know what? Praise God and sing to God that he is your deliverer. Amen. Sing to God that he is your ever-present help in a time of trouble. Amen. That's the song you need to sing. Thank you, Lord, you'll never leave me nor forsake you. Forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never give up on me. Thank you, Lord, wherever I go, you're with me. Thank you, Lord, you're holding me in your hands. Thank you, Lord, you're carrying me through this. Thank you, Lord, you're giving me strength and you're giving me joy and you're bringing comfort to my soul. Thank you, Lord, for being the restorer of my soul. Oh, wow. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. But do we sometimes just allow other things to be greater than God? Do we lift other things higher than where God is? Well, that's idolatry. That is idolatry. If you are giving anything more value than God himself, you're in idolatry. Let's look at Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Listen to the answer to that question. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. How are you getting on with that one? It's quite challenging. If you're not challenged, I'm worried, because I'm challenged. Who does his neighbor no wrong? How are you getting on with that one? Even thinking these things is just as bad as doing them. Are you thinking wrong of your neighbor? And who casts no slur on his fellow man? What about that one then? Are you able to keep a guard over your mouth and just to come forth with words of life? Or would you much rather speak death over someone because they've offended you or hurt you or caused you injury or brought pain? Now, I'm not denying these things, but we need to respond in faith. And we need to respond like Jesus, because that's when they will see that we have been with Jesus. If I show me, they're not going to see Jesus. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Listen to what it says. He who does these things will never be shaken. So when you do these things, you will never be shaken. Because do you know what? You know who you are in Christ. And you are standing on that identity that you have with him through his Holy Spirit. And you will never be shaken. Amen. Because your feet are on the rock of Christ. And the rock will not be shaken. It is the rock that is immovable and unshakable. And our feet have been placed on that rock. But it's not us who are unshakable and immovable in ourselves, but we're only unshakable and immovable in the spirit realm when we are standing on the rock, which is Christ, when we are allowing Christ to live. Less of us and more of him by his spirit. Hallelujah. Let's look now at Proverbs 4. Very, very familiar portion of scripture. I'm sure you can all quote it to me. Proverbs 4, and we're reading from verse 20 through to 27. And for me, this is just great advice and great counsel. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." Are you listening closely to the words that God speaks to you? Are you hearing what he's saying to you by his Spirit? Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. You see, it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if we're keeping all of the things of God in our heart, then what is it that's going to come forth? The things of God. Not the things of me and not the things of you, but it'll be the things of God that come forth. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Doing this will keep you in good health, in body, soul, and spirit. It's a completeness, it's a fullness, it's that sozo well-being in every part of you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Verse 23, beautiful verse. Above all else, this is the most important thing, above everything, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If you let injury and pain and hurt come into your heart, you're allowing death to start. That's what happens. We allow death to come in. And you know what? Death will take its toll. But you and me have got the ability in the Holy Spirit to guard our heart above everything so that none of that junk comes into the temple. Let's keep that temple clear the way Jesus cleared the temple. Use that authority that you have. It's yours. He's given it to you so that you can use it. He's not given it to you so you put it on a shelf and forget about it. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Far from your lips. Don't even allow it to come onto your lips, but keep it far from your lips. That is honouring to God. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. And for me, that just reminds me of the scripture, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If we're not looking to Jesus, then we're not looking at the right place. If we're looking anywhere other than Jesus, then we're just going to cause chaos in our own lives. You know, these things are our responsibility. God cannot do these things for you and me. But he has given us the enabling and the ability to do these things in his name by his Spirit. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your feet from evil. You see, it's only going forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we will be kept from straying on our own path. It's only by looking unto him that we will keep our feet from evil. It's very easy to read it, and it makes sense, but it's a little bit more difficult to actually walk that out. Would you agree? But you see, it's only difficult when we're trying to get it sorted out in here. If we commit our day unto the Lord, then we can rest assured that the Lord will lead us and guide us by his Holy Spirit. But it's when Susan thinks, you know, Susan knows better than God. You ever thought that yourselves? You ever thought, well, you know, I think this could be a good way to do that, Lord. You ever tried to tell God that? You sure, God? Oh, I don't know if you've thought that one through. I think my idea is far better than yours. But, you know, Scripture tells us that our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. But that's only in the fleshly realm. In the spirit realm, his thoughts become our thoughts and his ways become our ways. That's why we've got to live there, because it's so much easier. So much easier. When you were born again, you were inwardly created and inwardly fashioned to become, listen to this, God's magnificent dwelling place. That's what he says of you. You are his magnificent dwelling place. You've already got all of all that God can give you. There is nothing that you do not have. You are his beautiful temple. You have been built by God, by his Spirit, and you are a temple of all of his goodness. Enjoy being the temple. Keep the temple clear. That's your job. Be who God has fashioned you to be. You need to get a hold of this if you're struggling with a poor self-image. And I'm closing here. Inwardly, you are so beautiful and magnificent that God Almighty wanted to come and live in the inside of you. You need to tell yourself that, because it's the truth. God does not lie. You are so beautiful in his sight. And sometimes you despise the person that you think that you are, because you know your faults and failings. But God says, when I look at you, my child, you are my temple. My temple of my Holy Spirit. You are adorned with beauty beyond beauty. Each and every one of you. Now just go and be the temple that God wants you to be. People will see Jesus in you as you display the splendor of God in your temple. Amen. 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 Bless you. Thank you.